Now get a $100 Visa.
In a sort of pseudo British accent. You know, I mean, what am I going to ask you about it? What's there to ask? It's late at night already. You've heard it all. You're jaded. Normal people aren't listening to the radio. Right? Average people are not listening to the radio. They're going to Pilates classes. They're in Kung Fu academies. They're shopping for Thanksgiving. They're going to the orthodontist to fix their teeth or their children's teeth. They're watching a show about, I don't know, JFK. They're interested in JFK. Why are we interested in JFK again? Are we not finished with that? Again? Every time Obama gets in trouble, we hear about Camelot. Every time a Democrat falls off the cliff, there we go again. JFK and Camelot again. Well, okay. I was reading the newspapers. Should I play the Oprah thing first or the Basher thing first? Let's start with the Oprah thing first, where she says white men need to die for peace to prevail. I think we have to set it up, though, by playing clip two first on the Savage Nation. Let's do that.
Of course, the problem is not solved. You know, as long as people can be judged by the color of their skin, the problem's not solved. As long as there are people who still, and there's a whole generation, I say this, you know, I said this, you know, for apartheid South Africa, I said this for my own, you know, community in the South, there are still generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
That's Oprah Winfrey, a guest at the White House, a woman who was a billionaire, a woman who made $94 million last year, who says that it's a nation of racists and they have to die. People who are living in the South have to die. I don't know which states she is referring to. Older people in the South, would she line them up and help them with Obamacare? She just said that there are still generations of older people who are born and bred in the South in prejudice and racism, and they have to die. Now, I don't know whether she and Obama discussed how they have to die. I don't know whether she means by natural causes or sort of euthanasia. Is she thinking of concentration camps for the old Southerners in order to move along the social justice and speed up the social engineering? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know how crazy this country is becoming? I opened with a soundbite from someone you never heard of. A man named Harvey Weinstein, who was a repetitive guest at the White House. A man who espouses anti-gun and liberal causes, and every movie he makes is the most despicable, violent movie ever imaginable. Shooting, murders, maiming, rapings, molestation, hangings. That's Harvey Weinstein's stock and trade. And here he's saying we need gun laws and immigration and the health care. Like, he doesn't get health care? Harvey Weinstein is concerned about your health care. Then you have Oprah Winfrey saying the Southerners who are racist need to die. And then you have this creature from the Black Lagoon, the slimy limey Martin Basher, saying that someone should defecate and urinate in Sarah Palin's mouth on MSNBC, on Microsoft NBC General Electric, Microsoft NBC General Electric, Microsoft NBC General Electric. Now you say, well, why is this happening? There are many reasons. The primary reason is because liberalism is a mental disorder, which is the title of a book I published in 2005. So don't accuse me of selling a book. Even if I were selling a book, that would be fine, but I'm not. The book's in print, but I'm not selling it. What I want you to hear is why I believe that these people are mentally disabled. They are disabled people. They're sick. They're probably on medication. I don't know. These are, you know, private, confidential document. I think liberalism is reaching a point of no return from the point of view of mental illness. And if I'm going to read you something, you're going to find that almost everything you hear from other conservative talk shows has been stolen from my books, and they don't even know it. I am so far ahead of the curve, and I really am so far ahead of the curve that things I've written 5, 6, 8 years ago are now being said as though they never heard it before. They don't know they're quoting my own book. Their producers have ripped off my books and given it to the host to read. I'll give you an example. In the beginning of the book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, here's what I wrote. In this book, I will demonstrate how well-intentioned liberal programs, plans, and ideas often lead to terrible results. While the impulse for helping others is well-intentioned, the results often border on insanity. As such, is liberalism a mental disorder? Can all liberals be mentally disordered? Are good intentions good enough? Let me define the terms. You want me to go on or not? Are you already bored to death? I think I'll stop. Mike, tell us a meatball recipe. It's a good book. I'm not going to read you my own book. It's a good book, very good book, way ahead of its time. I did well with it, that's all. But there's something else in there that you didn't see in the great book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, by me, Michael Savage. You want to hear? It was the preface to the introduction. You ready for this one? Because this comes at you from the other side. This gives you a wrist slap from the other hand. The preface says the conservative movement is dead, and I'm quoting my own book, 2005. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Let's face facts. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that these empty suits would provide the leadership necessary to defend America from those who would do her harm instead of taking the side of the enemy. And I go on, and I say on my radio show this, on my radio show that, on these Euro-socialists and their American counterparts see a terrible beauty struggling to be born, a beauty that would like to sweep away our dying civilization and bring us into an unbrave new world. When the internationalists attack Christian fundamentalism, let us not forget they're also attacking Judaism. I direct that to my liberal Jewish listeners. This book, I wrote, has been designed to pour a caustic solution on the edifices of liberalism. It was very good. I don't really have to tell you how good it is. Now this leads us to the news of the day, which I'm not at yet. But when I ask you this question, I know you're going to call. You're going to go against your grain and call it on the Savage Nation. As you know, I have a new segment on the show, which is the newspaper segment. And every day I pick newspapers because I like the feel of ink on my hands and whatnot. I think it's antibacterial, the ink that's still left in newspaper. It's sort of an antibacterial effect on my fingers. So I buy, and there's a certain smell to it. I grew up on newsprint. Remember, I'm a person from another generation. So to me, it was always like wrinkling the paper. Had a, you know, it's like toast. When I hear that, it's toast. When I hear this, I smell toast. When I hear this, I smell ink. And I know I'm going to settle down to total lies from the beginning to the end today. You see people in San Francisco and the Bay Area sitting and reading it. You know, when you see a person reading and using their finger as they go down a column, there's two things you learn right away. They're liberals and stupid. They read this paper as though it's the Holy Grail. They can quote the Chronicle chapter and verse. So there's an article on the front page which is very interesting. And it says, GOP hopefuls testing more inclusive tone. Oh, more inclusive tone? Now, what does more inclusive mean? A Republican National Committee's postmortem went wrong in the 2012 elections. The future GOP candidates must show that they care about minorities, gays, and others that don't share their views on social issues. Two of California's likely Republican candidates for governor are going to put that to the test. Are voters, particularly conservative ones, ready for GOP candidates who are pro-choice, pro-same-sex marriage rights, and pro-pathway to citizenship for those in the U.S. illegally? Wow. This is a test case nationally of what the Growth and Opportunity Project was suggesting, said some unknown schmuck from Sausalito, and allegedly a GOP veteran and strategist. We never heard of him. I didn't even know there was a conservative in Sausalito. I had no idea. I had no idea there were conservatives allowed in Sausalito. But I ask you a further question. Should the Republican Party be more inclusive or less inclusive, and why? Should the Republican Party understand that, well, the country's changed and it's time to throw away family values? Well, the country's changed and it's hard to accept the fact that everyone is in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens. Homosexual marriage is just fine and dandy. And that abortion should be available on demand. Now, I would ask you a question to go with that question, which is, if the Republicans adopt this leftist agenda, then what separates them or distinguishes them from the leftist agenda and the leftists? Why vote? No, why vote Republican? See, I think that they shouldn't adopt a more inclusive position. Why? Well, for one, I don't believe in those positions. That's number one. But let's put aside my beliefs. If the two parties have absolutely no differential, then why have two parties? The answer is because we don't. Right now we have one party. We have a one-party system playing two-card Monty. Anyway, you get the drift of the show. We'll play the Oprah Winfrey, the Dirty Mouth Oprah. We're going to play the Basher guy from MSNBC and ask, why is Phil Griffin still have a job? Why has Microsoft not fired Phil Griffin for letting these vile, psychotic individuals on the air, including Alec Baldwin. I mean, at least they suspended that lout, that Irish lout, for 2 days. That talentless Irish lout was thrown off the air for 2 days. You know what I loved about the Alec Baldwin situation when he attacked the photographer? It shows pictures of the photographer cowering as the big hero, Alec Baldwin, threatens him and menaces him for something he allegedly did, like, oh my, I'm a celebrity and you took my picture? That's horrible. You know I don't want my picture taken. Get away from me, you filthy paparazzi. Of course, they live on the paparazzi. So they show he's like a middle-aged fat guy with a camera cowering. As it turns out, the middle-aged fat guy, Baldwin, screams at him, you who do you think you are? You're a middle-aged fat guy. And the guy says to him, who do you think you are? You're a middle-aged fat guy. Well, it gets more interesting. The middle-aged fat guy, the photographer from the Post, that he was menacing, Alec Baldwin, turns out he was once a boxer who trained with the great heavyweight champion Frazier. And he was a damn good boxer. He may look pudgy, but he is Italian, number one. And number two, he says to Alec Baldwin, I'll tell you what, I challenge you to a boxing match in the ring in the charity. We will send the money that we raised to GLAAD, the gay charity. Alec Baldwin says, what? I picked on a guy who could knock my block off? So things get better as they go along. There's a certain satisfaction in watching things emerge. Now, I'd like to see Sarah Palin challenge Martin Bashir, not to a, shall I say, contest that begins with a P. No, I don't want that to happen. But I'd like to see Sarah Palin challenge this little creature to something else. Perhaps a shooting contest. Perhaps a duel. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Our free stuff today is being paid for by taking money from our children and borrowing from China. When that note comes due, and this isn't racist, so yeah, try it anyway. This isn't racist, but it's going to be like slavery when that note is due.
Okay, so she makes a point, a valid point. It's a very appealing point. We're enslaving future generations with massive, massive debt. They will be enslaved by the debt. That's a common statement. And yet, the mental dwarf, Martin Bashir, the slimy limey, as I've affectionately referred to him over the years, says the following in clip 7, and you have to hear it. I'm going to insist you listen to this.
Thistlewood was the son of a tenant farmer who arrived on the island of Jamaica in April 1750 and assumed the position of overseer at a major plantation. In 1756, he records that a slave named Darby catched eating canes, had him well flogged and pickled, then made Hector, another slave, S-H-I-T, in his mouth.
That's number one of the mentally deranged hosts on MSNBC. He uses a word that no one uses in the media. Now he gets even more insane and qualifies for a straitjacket in clip 8.
And he mentions a similar incident again in 1756, this time in relation to a man he refers to as Punch. Flogged Punch well, made Negro Joe piss in his eyes and mouth. When Mrs. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance. She confirms that if anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate.
That's all, of course, with the pseudo-high-class British voice. Now you understand why I don't trust people with British accents. But, I mean, there's no question you can ask by this other than why is Phil Griffin still working today? Why has the program director of NBC not been fired? Why does Microsoft permit such a public relations disaster to occur to their public image? Why does Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric commit such a psychopath to remain on the air? And his boss. But you're not interested in this. I may just give you a meatball recipe when I come back. Could be you're burned out. Are people already in Thanksgiving mode? What, they're traveling already? Does no one work?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know what? I think I'm going to forget politics for a few minutes. I know that's what you want me to do anyway. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do instead. I have a great show prep from 8 o'clock this morning. Unbelievable. Palin's right. We are selling our children into servitude. We are forcing them to live in ruin and poverty. They're going to be ruined as this be called not free market. There was another phrase that was used that's no longer used by the communists in the media, which is free enterprise. When I was young, the phrase that was used was free enterprise. We don't use that anymore. Notice that? Now the word is capitalism because immediately people get, oh, I'm not a capitalist. Oh, no, that's a dirty word. They made capitalism a dirty word. But actually the phrase that we should be using is free enterprise. But since socialists have seized the wheels of the media, we will sell our children into the servitude. So Sarah Palin was right. But I don't want to talk about this. I'll tell you what I want to do instead. Since it's my show, and since the time slot is a changing, you know, come January 1, like I'm sitting here in front of a microphone, 6:35 on the West Coast, 9:35 on the East Coast. It's dark. It's been dark for 3 hours now. It's horrible. I'm staring at a green curtain again in a lonely room. You don't know what it's like. A nightmare. I can't wait for the day part. Wallbanger will be gone. He'll be banging walls somewhere else. And I'll be there in drive time. What I'm going to do instead, because why should I rebuild? Why should I build this time slot for somebody else? Let them kill themselves at night. I'm joking. I do the same show if it's in the middle of the night. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do instead. You know I'm a boater, right? And you know I sold my boat, my beloved boat, after 5 years. I had another one for 5 years and sold it. I had a Grand Banks 42 I sold in 2009 that I bought new in 2002. I owned it for 7 years. I bought it new. I love that boat. It was a revelation for me to step up from a Bayliner 38. The Bayliner was like a Frisbee on the bay. I was terrified of docking that boat. Because it was a shallow beam. For those of you who don't know boats, I mean, a shallow draft, rather. Meaning it was shallow underneath. So it skidded on the water. And in the wind, you couldn't dock the thing. You'd be banging into docks. It was a nightmare. Every time I docked, I would skid across the water. It was like my heart would pound. It was sort of like a guy learning to land a plane at night in a wind. So I hated the boat. And then I bought the GB42. And I loved the boat because it was deep keel, big propellers. It was a world apart. Then I sold that in 2009, and I bought a used boat. It was 2 years old. I bought it in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was a Grand Banks 59 Aleutian, which I always wanted. I always wanted that boat. So I found the great boat, and I bought it. And, boy, it was different. It had stabilizers. It had a bow thruster. I added a stern thruster. It was like driving a little ocean liner. And I've enjoyed it from 2009 until this year when I sold it to lovely people who, by the way, drove it out of my dock about 2 weeks ago and drove it down to Mexico. They got there in 48 hours from my dock to Ensenada. Got it ready, and they put it on a ship. It may be in Florida in a couple of weeks. Now, so I said, no more boats. I'm not buying any more boats. I just bought another boat. So I'm a little reluctant to tell you what I bought, but I bought another boat, a 40-foot. I went down from a 60-foot to a 40-foot. A boat called a Windsor Craft. They're very little-known boats. They're built in Turkey by Vikim. Now, why I'm telling you this is because I just had a survey done and it arrived 3 minutes ago by email. You know what a boat survey is like? A boat survey is about like doing, it's like buying a used car, buying 20 used cars at once. Buying a boat is like buying 20 used cars at once and trying to analyze whether to buy it or not. So I just got the Marine survey, which I'd like to share with you, because some of it's very interesting. Shall I do it or not? Raise your hands. Do you want me to read you the Marine survey, or do you want me to talk about MSNBC? Because at the end of the show, I'm going to go to dinner anyway. At the end of the show, I'm going to go to dinner and have two beers and probably have spaghetti and meatballs, and then I'm going to come home and watch Homeland late tonight, because I missed it last night. And then I'm going to go to sleep and have nightmares all night about politics, and then wake up and push the wheel up. The rock up the hill again. Tomorrow's another day of the myth of Sisyphus. Sisyphus Savage will be back tomorrow. Raise your hand if you want me to read the... You can't raise your hand in the audience. You can. You want me to read the 855-4728? Okay, I'll give you a short version. Let's see what the surveyor said. The above-captioned vessel was surveyed on November 18, 2013, while afloat in its berth and during haul-out at Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the purpose of hull condition and marine risk survey, commonly referred to as a pre-purchase survey. It's very interesting, even if you're not a boater. This survey includes the inspection of hull and deck structure, installation of hardware equipment, plumbing and electrical systems, blah, blah, blah. In addition, attempts were made to operate all equipment aboard the vessel. The interior of the vessel was inspected and found to be in very good cosmetic condition. All partitions, bulkheads, and epoxy fastenings were inspected, were accessible, found to be in good condition. All through-hull fittings below the waterline were noted to be in good condition, fitted with operable shutoff valves and bonded to a central bonding system, with the exception of one which was seized. Oh, no good. No good. Most electrical equipment was inspected. Three bilge high water alarms were tested and found to be in good condition. Some pumps were tested. But batteries were checked with an electronic load test. All five were found to be in good. This is real good stuff for an Eddie. It's like an Eddie show. But I don't know if, like, women listening to this show in Minnesota would be interested. The trial run was conducted offshore Port Everglades, Atlantic Ocean. A diesel surveyor is scheduled to be aboard in the near future to check the condition. It was noted there was no abnormal smoking at the exhausts. The engines were noted to do within approximately 30 RPMs of their maximum rating. I love motors. I just love this stuff. Propeller shafts were found to turn true at the shaft logs. Don't you love this? Don't you like a phrase like, the propeller shafts were found to turn true at the shaft logs? That's sexy. A backdown test was conducted during which the engines were noted to hold firm on their mounts. That is a certain charm to that. Steering, good. During the haul-out, the bottom was sounded with a phenolic hammer. That sounds almost S&M. During haul-out, the bottom was sounded with a phenolic hammer? That sounds like a Lady Gaga thing. During a haul-out, the bottom was sounded with a phenolic hammer, parenthesis, a tool used to detect voids, separations, delaminations, areas of deterioration, etc., and found to be sound. No signs of blisters were noted in the fiberglass. All underwater fittings and running gear were found to show. The prop blades were observed for proper alignment, noted to turn slightly out of true. Not good. That's not good. The propeller shafts to strut alignments appear to be within normal limits for this. The cutlass bearings were found to be within limits. The rudders were noted to be in good condition and properly lined. The anti-fouling pan was noted to be within its limits. The zincs were noted to be within limits of effect. The top sides also found to be sound. The decks and superstructure were found to be sound. The navigation lights were tense. The fuel tanks were no leak. All right. Remarks and recommendation. I'm reading a ship survey for those of you who ever want to buy a boat. Both propellers were noted to turn slightly out of true. Recondition and vibration warrants. Note excessive vibration was detected. What? Excessive vibration was detected during the trial run? That's not good. Two, at least four of the through-hull external strainers were noted to be damaged? Not good. Three, elevated moisture readings were noted in the bottom in a few areas, mainly at the keel and starboard beneath the aft and middle ports. No delamination. No. The trim tabs operated, however, they are wired the reverse of normal. Oh, no. Oh, no. Rewire as desired? Decks and superstructure. Elevated moisture readings were noted mainly around the midship cleats. Forget about this. Cockpit. Oh, this is getting interesting. I got a neck ache already. Number six. No, I'm really getting palpitations and a pain in my neck. Six, I swore no more boats. Six, water leakage was noted in the vicinity of the freshwater pressure pump and its plumbing. Oh, no! Determined source and repair. Seven, water was noted in the electric grill, as well as the compartment beneath it and the compartments to port. Keep this area covered. Oh, no! Eight, the U-line ice maker did not produce cold. Oh, no! Check its power cord and ensure that it is plugged. Oh, I'm getting a migraine. Oh, this is terror. Nine, corrosion, most likely due to leakage at the generator seawater cooling pump above it, was noted at the low-pressure fuel pump. Ugh. Wire brush and tree to replace fuel pump on at the seawater cooling pump for leak. I can't take this. I said no more boats. I was forced into this. Ten, it's because it's one of the most beautiful boats ever made, but I don't need this headache. Ten, a lack of cooling water flow was noted in the generator sea strainer. No! That's terrible! Recommend seawater intake hose be replaced, an entire system checked for blockage, barnacles, and cleaned as necessary. I'm going to buy a boat with barnacles? Additionally, the generator seacock was blocked from closure by the location of the port bilge pump. Oh, my God. Helm. The autopilot powered up and acted normal but did not steer a course. Oh, great. That's great. That should come in very handy on a first cruise. The autopilot doesn't work. 12, the starboard windshield washer does not produce water. Great. Oh, here's the killer. The Raymarine E80 radar function did not operate. This is the DV player did not the DVD player in the stateroom did not open its tray to allow for playing a DVD. Are you kidding me? This is getting better by the minute. 15, a lack of water flow was noted in the air conditioner sea strainer. Oh my God. This goes on and on. This guy, I'm going to stop right here. I don't know if you know what I'm doing here. 855-407-282. Oh, what? I have callers now? I was filibustering my own show, but it's actually more interesting. Let's take a caller or two. Michael on WABC, welcome to the program.
Yes, how you doing tonight? Well, pardon me. You've got a problem. The problem is this. The daytime talk show hosts, Mr. Simone and all of these other characters, are ready to gang up on you. They're ready.
Wait, who's Mr. Simone? Who's Mr. Simone?
Oh, come on. Mark Simone.
Who?
And others who say...
I don't know who Mark Simone is. Who's Mark Simone?
Oh, okay.
Never heard of him.
Okay, let me rephrase that. All right. Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know this position to put Wallbanger on.
He is. You've got the guy with the hemorrhoids who's getting a hysterectomy without any anesthesia. He's also doing it. They're ready for you, Michael. They're going to come after you. And
why do you think they're attacking me? Tell me why, Michael.
Okay. Very simple. It's coming from more than one person. That tells me that they're all in cahoots. I mean, I don't think that this just came...
No, but you're not answering the question in a bigger picture. Why would these other hosts be attacking Michael Savage? Why are they doing it?
Their ratings. Why else would they do that?
Can I explain something to you? When you are the lead sled dog, what portion of the dog's body, what part of the lead dog's anatomy do the other dogs stare at?
I've phrased myself many times.
No, you're not answering me. If you're the lead sled dog in terms of talent...
Of course.
No, you're not answering me. If you're the lead sled dog in terms of talent, as I am,
yes.
Not in size of audience, but in terms of talent, no one could touch me. Tell me what part of the anatomy of a lead sled dog the other dogs are staring at as they're racing across the snow.
They're going to see us behind.
That's right. So all they're doing is yapping because that's all they get to look at. You understand that?
Could I tell you what they said?
No, you think it bothers me?
No, well, look,
they're jealous.
I don't want to scare you.
They're Lilliputians. What do I care what they say? But I will tell you this: if somebody who's syndicated by Cumulus does this, they're violating their clause, their defamation clause, and I will make sure that Cumulus knows this. All right, I don't even want to talk about them. They're insignificant. I won. Do you understand I won the marbles? Do you understand this? Can I just make it clear? I've been in the marble game for 20 years. I won all the marbles. Everybody was against me, and that's not a paranoid statement. There was a cartel run by a certain clique in the radio media business, radio internet business. This clique thought they had me pigeonholed, and they were shocked to find out Michael Savage inherited the drive time slot on the biggest stations in the country. They don't know what to do. So what do you expect them to do? Say congratulations, Michael? That's what you'd expect from people with dignity. Okay? Forward stateroom head. A lack of water was noted in the air conditioner sea strainer. The strainer was cleared. Mount the 2 carbon monoxide detectors and prove operable. Engine component. Replace the missing carbon brush for the outboard arm of the starboard engine brush. Oh, my God. Oh, no, number 19, the starboard engine seawater intake seacock was seized. This is it. There's an email going out within 5 minutes, my friends. I'm no longer in the boating business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, look, I've been talking about Oprah Winfrey saying white racists need to die. I mean, it's unbelievable. Then the little pipsqueak, the slimy limey, why he's still on General Electric's light bulb station, why Phil Griffin hasn't been fired by Bill Gates, why potato chips are salty. And then I read I swear, this was a live thing that I did because I got bored of politics. I think you were bored, too. I read you a boat survey of a boat I was thinking of buying. I spent, I think, I don't know what it cost me, $1,200 today. I'm not even there. I'm not in Florida. To have a boat that I literally bought to be surveyed. And I read you live, and I just canceled the boat. You heard it live on the air. I canceled the boat. I sent the order. No, I'm not buying a boat with all these problems. I don't want another headache. Forget it. I don't want it. No more. I'll ride the ferry, the Golden Gate Ferry, instead of this. And then we're talking about the jealous host, the Lilliputians who were attacking me prior to my moving into drive time. I mean, it's stupid. I won the marbles. What do they complain? Makes them sound little or smaller than they already are. That's all. I'm Fredo. I'm smart. I should have gotten it. I'm smart.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
Oh, I love that thing. It's clear. It just, you know, that's like eating wasabi listening to that. Whenever I hear that thing, I feel like I just had wasabi. I had a great weekend. I'm exhausted from it. It's one of the reasons I feel good, but I'm exhausted. I had a very bad day, and I'm having a great show. Go figure. I didn't think I could do the show tonight. I was dragging my you-know-what through the day. It was a nightmare. It was like I was a horse with a wagon on it with 25,000 pounds of lead, and I had to get back to the stable. I couldn't believe how bad I felt because I overdid it. I'll tell you why, what happened, where I went to dinner, new friends, drank too much, eat too much, mal brioche. You know, it was one of those. I'm not a social person. But I had a heavy social weekend, and you know it wears you out? Now I know why I'm a recluse. There's a reason for it. I don't want to know people. 854, I don't forget the number. New Mexico, KTBL. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi again. Yeah, I was going to say, I actually, there's a radio show called Red Eye Radio. The hosts on that show, Gary and Eric, actually praised you for getting on Cumulus about a year ago.
Well, that was a year ago, but now are they still praising me now that I'm moving into a major drive time slot and an old wall banger, their hero, has been pushed out?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I haven't heard them say much else, but they haven't said...
You know what? God bless them for saying one nice thing about me. This is the most vicious business in the world. This makes vaudeville look like a whatever. I was never in vaudeville myself. I heard about it. Imagine there was a thing called vaudeville once, and now there's internet porn. What was vaudeville? It was stupid men making jokes with a cane so that strippers could come on the stage. I was way before. Now with internet porn, they don't need men with canes. It is the Savage Nation. We have great calls here. KOKC in Ohio, Dave, you're on the Savage Nation.
They're jealous, and they hate you because you deliver compelling, personalized, entertaining content. You let us into your life without reeling us in. And you
wait, you said I let you in my life without what?
Without really letting us in. You give us just that little taste. You open that door a little bit. So I'm like vaudeville. You leave us wanting more.
That's nice. Well, of course, you're not going to tell everyone every detail of your life. It would be embarrassing.
Of course.
I'm not going to, you wouldn't want to hear it anyway. I mean, but the point is I give you pieces of my life that I think are interesting and have a certain degree of dignity. Let's put it that way. The rest I could leave out. I'm not Howard Stern.
I listen to you read a boat report. I could listen to you read the pages.
Now, you know what I did in radio just now? No one's ever done that in history. I had a live read of a boat survey that I got on as I'm talking. I read it, and I canceled the boat because what I read on the air. Would you believe that? That's called doing a triple flip in radio in the middle of a political show. I did a triple backward somersault and landed on my feet. And boy, do my toes hurt. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls on this and other topics. Be here or be absolutely nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
If
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I engage in risky behavior on the radio all the time, when you think about it. Don't I engage in risky behavior? Do you like the risky behavior? Do you want more risky behavior? Would you rather I talk about brisket rather than risky behavior? Because how much of this can I take? If I say the O word one more time, and now there's two O words that I don't ever want to say. One is Obama, the other is Oprah. To me, they're in the same category. Two O words I never want to hear again. That's so I'm bashing MSNBC. I mean, why talk about Basher? Well, who is he? He's a nobody. A slimy, limey. I don't know what he's even doing in American media. You got to understand something. The British accent no longer sells. That was a Twiggy thing. In the 60s, I'll tell you how it started. I don't want to be taken the wrong way. A certain type of New York company, mainly guys from Brooklyn who sounded like Harvey Weinstein's father, I would imagine. Heavy mixed accents from the old country who sold schmatas. Hired young girls who spoke with a British accent. Why? They thought it was classy. J&L ties, you know, that kind of thing. And every schnuck who made a little money hired a secretary with a British accent. So it was cool in the 60s. That whole British thing, everyone, like, they thought it intimidated their friends from the who sold undershirts. So the tie manufacturer in the garment center would hire a girl who spoke with a British accent, and then she'd answer the phone, and the guy with the tie manufacturer then had to out get someone with a better British accent. He hired someone from Jamaica because they have a better British accent than people from London, by the way, incidentally. This is a product of the great education people had in Jamaica. But today it doesn't sell. It's the reverse is true. No one trusts foreigners in America. So why would MSNBC hire someone with a fraudulent accent to begin with? If you investigate accents, and I'm an expert on them, you'll find there's no such thing as a British accent, per se. There are varieties of English spoken in England and in other, you know, ex-colonies that vary, but there's no such thing as class associated with it. I can go into that with American accents as well. Regional accents are interesting to me. My accent is interesting to me. Your accent is interesting to me. People who speak with a Midwestern no-accent voice are actually affecting that. They're affecting the fact that they have no regional accent. That's an affectation. But that's a separate one. All right, 855-407-282. I'm getting cold here in the studio. In the last hour, I did a triple reverse flip on the air and landed on the tightrope. I was talking politics. I asked a loaded question, I admit. It says, Governor, GOP hopefuls testing more inclusive tone. And I asked an interesting question. In California, of course, they're going to fall on their face. They think that the Republican Party has to engage candidates who are pro-homosexual marriage, pro-amnesty, and pro-abortion. They, of course, created new code words for all of that. Notice not one of those statements actually reads as it is. It says, should the Republicans engage social issues such as, quote, pro-choice, that means abortion, pro-same-sex marriage rights, that means homosexual marriage, and pro-pathway to citizenship for those in the U.S. illegally, that means amnesty. So just by setting the question up, they're lying. But that's what you get from Comrade Joe at the Chronicle. Comrade Joe can't write a straight sentence if he tried. That's how brainwashed the poor kid is. Probably a nice person. Probably going to go to a turkey dinner with a family somewhere that doesn't like him, I would imagine. You know, that's interesting to me is I look at all of the libs in the San Francisco area. Most of them who are like in the media come from the East Coast, and they come out here and they affect being super liberal. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm for all that stuff. Then they fly home to like Jersey or Cleveland for the holidays, and they go back to like conservative families. How do they behave when they get home? What are they, like I put on a conservative hat? Hey, how you crazy friends out there in San Francisco, huh? Enjoying it out there, huh? You nut you? How are you? It's already in the air, the turkey thing. There's no getting around it. The mind is already moving already to the turkey. I myself am distracted. It's next Thursday, right? So I'm going through a conflict. I have three conflicts every Thanksgiving. Should I cook at home or should I go to a restaurant for Thanksgiving? Should I invite other people outside the family or should I not invite them? Should I, you know, it's like I'm going through that already. On one hand, I want to stay home and cook. Because I like the smell of the turkey in the house. It permeates the curtains. Makes it smell like a ghetto, which is, I kind of like it, like a slummy. It reminds me of like a slum apartment. Not a dirty, don't confuse a slum apartment with something dirty. Our apartment was immaculate, but it was in a slum. when I was a kid. But when I grew up, I always liked the whole thing. The little house in Queens where the brick house attached. It reminded me very much of a house out of Dickens, England, you know, the attached homes in Queens, New York. Starter homes. Father paid $14,500 for it in the early 50s. It was fine for us. Three bedrooms, one bathroom, horrible. Oh, man. That part I didn't like. I don't want to go into it. I'm not Martin Basher. But the thing is, you got, you know, two, three children and a set of adults in one bathroom. You don't want to know about that. How did people live like this? Like, from another world. They had one little bathroom downstairs, like it was called the guest bathroom. You couldn't get in that thing. You couldn't move in. And the dining room, I've said this before, dining room, but it was, my mother would put out a spread for Thanksgiving. I remember to this day how great it was. She'd cook all day with the ants over. It was beautiful. A little four-burner stove with electric. How did she do it? She was afraid of gas, I think. She had certain phobias, God rest. I don't want to divulge. She was afraid of gas, as they had electric, but she could turn out better than the kitchen. Now everyone has Gagano in Tiburon, California. Oh, yeah, there were $12,000 stoves that no one has ever turned on. Six of those refrigerators in the house, six. You open one, it's got cold drinks in it. The main one for the house, oh, subs. Everyone has a Sub-Zero, right? They have Sub-Zero, you open it up, it looks like a prostitute's refrigerator. It's got a bottle of water in it and a bottle of cold wine, nothing to eat. And then the stove, 12 burners, cook special things you touch, contraptions that can rotisserie. No one's ever turned it on. My mother had an electric stove with four grids on it. She could make six restaurant meals at one time. And if you open the refrigerator, there were meals ready to be reheated. She had no microwave in the house. That was a later addition. She thought it was no good. It would ruin the food. She'd heat on the stove the old way. So, you know, Thanksgiving always has those memories for me. She had appetizers. Now, I'll tell you why. You came in her house for Thanksgiving dinner or any other dinner. All over the living room, spread on every table, was something to dip into. A chopped chicken liver or this, a fish or that, a cracker, a drink. Because she didn't want to, like, think that people were waiting. Now, I once went to a wedding out here in Marin County years ago. Nice people. No negatives intended. It was so high class that there was no food served for 2 hours. I've never seen anything like it. There was not a nut. Nothing. There were only alcoholic drinks. Nobody could believe this. They were fainting. You had to wear a certain kind of outfit and a suit and special candles from Sweden. It was up in Sonoma. A gorgeous wedding. Beautiful people. Everyone was well-dressed, turned out well, beautiful cars outside. Not a drop to eat for 2 hours. It was so bad, people were getting back in their cars and going down the highway to, like, a pizza place. They were going getting a pizza off the highway before the wedding. My mother knew this. If you go to a party, you got to feed them. So there was always food there. Are you interested in this or not? Want me to do politics? You're ready on to the turkey and how to make it crisp. I don't want to do that yet. It's a little too early for that. I could give you the politics. But what's the point? What am I going to say to you that you haven't heard? Let's take some calls. It's great calls. I mean, the whole thing about slavery and kill the white people. How does she get away with it? By the way, I was never an Oprah Winfrey fan. I thought she was a fraud from the get-go, a product of a warped society. I have no idea how she got such ratings. I pretty much know how, okay? I can't say it, though. They'll accuse me of something I'm not. You know, you want to talk about African-Americans. There's a show that I didn't like. Now I like it a lot. And it's Homeland I didn't watch last night because I was distracted. I had to go to dinner with a wonderful person. The show I like is Boardwalk Empire. I didn't like it originally because Stephen Buscemi looked too weak for the gangster role, but he's grown into the role. I didn't like the opening with the shoes in the water. I didn't get that. What was he standing in the water with his wingtip shoes with Atlantic City water coming on his shoes? Didn't like it. But as it's developed, my favorite character in Boardwalk Empire is the African-American character, Mr. White. He's amazing. He's my new favorite actor, actually, of all time. So he's a black guy who works his way up from the gutter, and he winds up running a really ritzy club in Atlantic City. He's got everything. He's got the club. He's got the beautiful family. Everything's rolling for him. Now, things turn bad when the Stephen Buscemi character turns on him. And he gets into a gunfight because the other black guy has turned on him and he tries to kill him. One of the best fight scenes ever done was between those two guys. So he runs away now. He's in hiding. He's on the lam, the Mr. White character. And he gets shot in the arm and he runs. So now he flees. Buscemi sends the police from Atlantic City to get him out of town. Little does he know he's going to his death. The cops are corrupted. They're going to take him and shoot him on the side of the road. So he smells a rat. He's in the car with his girlfriend. He left his wife and family to get away. And he says, I just doze off for a while. Meanwhile, he knows what they're planning, these two cops. Well, in the ensuing melee, he kills both of them, and he runs away with the police car, and he's on the run now. So in this scene last night, I got to tell you why I'm telling you this. The Mr. White character, you don't even have to have HBO to dig this, because I'm such a good storyteller, I can retell that story, and it's exciting. It's as good as Mark Twain. He goes to some house in a dilapidated part of the country, inhabited by a group of African-American fellows from the old, you know, old country guys. This is not city slicker type, country guys. And here's what I'm getting at. The stage set is one of the best ever done for television. It's of a dilapidated southern plantation. Paint is falling down. Like the Doric, you know, the pseudo-Doric columns are on the front. Unbelievable. So these guys are living there, and he comes in with the girlfriend. Now they start to speak to each other in a southern black dialect that has never, ever been done as well in my life. I've never heard anything as well done. I'm an expert on dialect. I'm an expert on voice. So when the Mr. White character in Boardwalk Empire is speaking with these other guys, you literally, as a white person, not from the South, would almost need a subscript to understand it. I would venture a guess that most African Americans who are middle class and educated wouldn't understand most of the dialogue. It's so well done. But I got so used to listening to them, I so appreciated what they were doing, that I thought for a while I was watching something come to life from Mark Twain. It was as good as Mark Twain's dialogue. Do you understand what I'm saying, how well this was? It's unbelievable for television. Anyway, I'm trying to tell you there's great television out there, and I really enjoy it. I'm not trying to prove anything. Let's take a call, it's because I think people are forgetting what I'm saying, don't know where I'm going. From Boats to Shaman in Memphis on WKIM. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your comment tonight?
Thank you for having me on your show. I listen to you in the evening because it's like a bedtime story. It's relaxing. When I settle in from the day, from running around, and I finally get to sit down, I sit down and listen to that rich voice. When I'm in my car, I listen to the yibber yabber, and I like a lot of it. But I hope
I know it's a you know, there's a challenge in what you're saying, because when I go to the day part, am I going to be able to do the same comforting kind of show? Do I have to change the pace? Do I have to do more news? I don't know, maybe a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's going to be me doing my show. I think people have come who love my show will listen and come to expect the same type of show, a mixture of news, views, and reviews. You know what I'm saying, Charmin?
Yeah, and I hope they get a good voice, because I can't take a bunch of screechy voices in a row. And
Oh, you mean to replace me? Look, I have a natural gift, as long as God wants me to have it, and that's up to God. I mean, he could turn the lights out at any minute on any of us, right? He could take what he's given me. He gave me the gift, he could take it away. You understand, Sherman? This is all a gift. It's all a miracle. It's all a dream, and I thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
Do you know what you're listening to? That's Oprah Winfrey saying that generations of whites from the South need to die. And she says it with a maliciousness that is not to be ignored. Now, I don't have to say, what if this were reversed? That's an obvious. We don't need to do that. What should happen as a result of this? I don't know. I have no idea, but I had to play this for you to see the level to which the psychos are going to support Obama. There's no other explanation for it. Why are they on the warpath all of a sudden? Whether it's Harvey Weinstein making stupid statements, Oprah Winfrey, or jerk from MSNBC, why are they suddenly on the warpath? Why? Because they're, in plain English, their dream has crashed. Their dream has crashed. I've told you the story from Greek mythology of the young man who thought he could fly to the sun. Remember that? Does anyone remember the myth, that Greek myth? The young man is on a cliff and he wants to fly like a bird. And so he takes wood and he takes bird feathers and he takes wax and he glues the feathers to the artificial wings with wax. And then he jumps off the cliff and he starts to flap his wings and he flies up and up and up and up, up and away. And he said, "Father, look, I can fly. I'm as free as a bird." The father warns him not to fly too close to the sun. The son ignores the father's warnings. Now, in this case, Obama has no father. Obama has always thought he was a law unto himself and a god unto himself because the skids had been greased for him. Everyone told him he was the greatest person on earth. And so he flew so close to the sun in the Greek myth that the sun, the heat from the sun melted the wax, the feathers fell off the boards, the artificial wings, and the boy plummeted to earth. That Greek myth is very much alive and well. And those who pushed Obama, like Oprah Winfrey and Harvey Weinstein and MSNBC, cannot believe that their dreams have crashed to earth. And that, my friends, is why they're becoming vile and literally dangerous.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So were you for a very long time an angry black man?
Oh, I was very angry. And I was angry not only at society, I was angry at my father. I was angry at some of my mentors.
Now let's stop right here. You're listening now to one of the most destructive people in the history of America, Al Sharpton, in my opinion. As you all know, he falsely accused a fine detective, Pagonis, of smearing a young black lady in feces. He never paid for that. I believe he was deeply involved in a fire in Harlem at the Freddy's Fashion Mart, which led to the death of individuals. He never went to jail or apologized for that. He has capitalized on his animus to an extent that you could never imagine, again, selling race hatred. And now he's telling us he was an angry black man. Now, this is Oprah Winfrey, one of the richest women in the world, stirring up the hatreds that were long suppressed, or let us say forgotten. Why, you must ask, is Oprah Winfrey suddenly stirring up such vile feelings in so many people, almost to egg people onto a civil war? Why? Why are so many pushing America in the direction of a race war? Why? You do know that there's a spate of wildings running around the streets now. Shall I tell you like it is? Because I will, because it's a fact, and the fact unto itself is supportable. Case after case after case of groups of young black males attacking white people and beating them almost to death. Happening all over the country, swept under the rug, and yet you're acting as though you don't know why this is happening. And now you have Oprah Winfrey throwing charcoal lighter fuel on the fire. You have this creature from the Black Lagoon on MSNBC throwing charcoal lighter on the embers. You have Harvey Weinstein throwing charcoal lighter on the embers, all for a reason. Are they trying to provoke a race war in the country? What are they trying to do? Do liberals understand what they're doing and why they're doing it? Or is there some other reason that this foulness is suddenly emanating from them? It's a question that has to be answered because this has to stop. This has to stop because this will yield a disaster for America if this keeps up. If we had a legitimate leader, and I mean that exactly what I just said, if we had a legitimate leader, he is the legitimate president, but he's not a legitimate leader. He has no leadership qualities whatsoever. If we had a legitimate leader, this wouldn't be happening. So you have to ask yourself, is somebody behind the president making calls or sending emails out to these people telling them to say these things? Is it Axelrod? Is it, what the heck is her name? The Chicago maven, who was playing nice with Iran, of Iranian descent. Jarrett. Yeah. And by the way, wait till you hear what happens tomorrow when you read that John Kerry stabbed Israel not on the back but in the heart and cut their jugular vein. Do you know that Kerry and Obama are screaming to the other Western nations to stop moving towards more sanctions on Iran? Do you understand what Obama is doing? What did I write in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny? What did I say? He treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. You know I was right. But what's the good of being right when you have an out-of-control rogue dictatorship in the United States of America? They answer to nobody. The most secretive administration in modern American history. The most corrupt, divisive administration in American history. And now they're trying to provoke race hatred, at the same time stabbing not only Israel, but other allies in the back. Can you imagine you live in a time when France becomes Israel's ally and we become Israel's enemy? Would you believe that would happen? I need some music. I wore tight pants, Dax, they were called Dax, in the 60s. Came back to me the other day. Imagine wearing pants for like a 28, 27. Can't believe it. I was once a runner, too, Ed, later on in life. Till my age 30, 31, I was a runner. I was always very fit. Then I gave up. I didn't care. No, I'm still in good shape. At a certain point, you figure, what are you keeping yourself alive for the Undertaker? No, I'm not at that point. I'm not one of those guys. I thought about becoming like that. I wanted to almost look like an English lord of another century. Kind of, you know, really fat jowls, brandy on the face, you know, that kind of thing. A guy who, like, dines on three gigantic meals a day without any regard to how long he lives. But it's not in me. I've been so conditioned to not go that direction. I'd like to. I can't. So I was a runner until I was 30, 31, 32. I had, like, the physique of a Somali long-distance runner, like a Ethiopian beekeeper. I mean, I was in great shape. Miserable every second of my life. Horrible. But I was thin, low cholesterol, perfect shape. So I was running up. I lived in a little house in Marin County at the time when the children were young. Little did I know I'd moved into like a southern town from the south in the 50s. The most racist town I ever lived in my life. All liberals, of course. Peace, love, marijuana, the most vicious bigots I've ever met in my entire life. It was so awful. I'll tell you about it one day. I can tell it to you about, I'll tell you about it right now if you want. Why I say that Fairfax, California was the most racist, bigoted town I've ever lived in my life. And they pride themselves on peace, love, peace signs. Yeah, I'm for global. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. When I was running in the back of the valley, there was a waterfall. I'd run every day. Run, perfect shape, you know, 30 size, 28 waist. Then one day I was running. I had two young children running up the mountain. And an inner voice screamed, stop. Never ran again. That was the last day I ever ran. So if people, you tell it, people say, oh, you had a psychotic break. No, it's called listen to the inner voice, man. Since then, I bicycle every day, by and large. I mile bicycling. The master of bicycling was someone you never heard of. It wasn't the guy who was disgraced because of doping. Poor Armstrong. Oh, they did to him. Wow. But let's put that aside. The master of bicycling was Mr. Dr. Kellogg, who created Kellogg's Corn Flakes and the Kellogg Sanitarium at Battle Creek, Michigan. You don't know this, but he bicycled 1 mile a day in a suit and tie to his from his home to his clinic. And he said, I bicycle 1 mile in each direction every day on a flat country road. Why? He said, it's not so much about the pushing the exercise. It's about the equilibrium that a bicycle forces you to maintain. I said, wow, that's brilliant. That is so Asian. In its concept, it was so ahead of its time. And I always do that when I don't feel good. I get on my bicycle, and I bicycle for about even 10 minutes on a flat street. You don't have to push yourself like you're going to get a heart attack. I want you guys to understand there's a potential of killing yourself through overexertion. Be clear on it. You are not a mechanical, device. You're a human being, and you can push yourself so far. There's another mentality about exercise. It's totally different, which is do it for the harmony that it induces in your body, in your being. And if you can induce the harmony through a bicycle ride that's calming and centering, that's very zen, if you want to use that phrase. And it's also very good for your mind, and which then sends messages down to your cells. You know, Annie, I think I've explained myself. I hung up already. All the lights went off on the telos board. I got too... So anyway, I stopped running for that. Never ran again. That's all. Size 27, 28 waist, 132 cholesterol. Shall I give you the numbers now? You're never going to hear. I'll never give them to you. Never. That's all. So what I'm saying is, how do they get away with this stuff? They're like, it's the equivalent of killing America. They're trying to slay America with these kinds of vile things in the media. Planes near vertical plunge. X-Raider dies in Oakland crash. Thomas Howard is reportedly driving over 100 miles an hour when his BMW crashed into a big rig on I-880. Another motorist is also killed. But I should have sympathy for him? Look how twisted they are in this local newspaper. The guy's speeding 100 miles an hour. He kills himself and another driver. X-Raider dies in Oakland crash. Oh, I'll light a candle for him tonight. I'll light a candle for him. What do you mean? He's a football player, so I should love him? What a bunch of morons in this city. God. Sports maniacs. Idiots. That's why they elect these criminals. Idiots riding around with flags, 49ers on their car. What a bunch of morons. Ooh, 49ers, Raiders, yeah. I'm a real sports fan. I wear the jacket. You putz, that's why the country's in the toilet. You schmuck, you. Every time I see a moron riding by with flags on his car, I want to pull him over. It's an idiot. Wake up, your country is going out from under your feet, you sports maniac, you. Two dead, including X-Raider in Oakland wreck. Committed homicide. Northbound BMW 750 Li, driven by Thomas Howard, 30-year-old Alameda resident, Grand back of a big rig, 12:50 a.m. Monday. Howard had been exceeding 100 miles an hour. BMW, who did he kill? Driver of the Honda, Zhang Long Lu, 64, was killed. You hear? Killed. Howard has conviction in California for failing to obey a sign or signal, failing to have his license in possession, according to the State Department of Motor Vehicle. He also has a speeding conviction in Florida. Oh, so the Raiders selected him. Great. Oh, he's a real hero. Howard played for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2011 and 2012, Simon Atlanta. Who cares? Who cares? Look, he killed people. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? A 64-year-old man gets killed for no reason because this thug killed him. And I'm supposed to get a Raider in a car wreck. And the article focuses on the murderer, not the victim, by the way. Everything is upside down. The scum of the earth is glorified by the Chronicle, while the real saints and heroes of the Bay Area are never heard from. The scum of the earth. The scummier they are, the bigger they're picked up by the Chronicle and glorified. Like a human hemorrhoid was driving that car. Look what he did to this innocent man in the other car. Look what you take your life in your hands wherever you go. Where was he going? Where was he going? A man killed for no reason. I never think about that when I'm driving. Do you ever think about the other car? Another murdering pro football player. What's wrong with these people? Former Raider Thomas Howard kills innocent motorists should have been the headline. But no, not to the comrades at the Chronicle. No, sir. Why don't they blame it on no gun control? Maybe they could somehow work at something against the NRA or Sarah Palin. Maybe as a result of this, I could see that they could bring up something else. Oprah Winfrey could say this wouldn't have happened if there were no other drivers on the road. The poor NFL player wouldn't have been killed. I mean, that's a way to look at it. If there were no other cars on the highway at that hour, then the speeding motorist from the NFL wouldn't have been dead. And if the truck wasn't there, see, if you had a fair nation, there would be no big rigs on the road when NFL players like this were on the highway. And if the nation was really fair, there'd be no people driving at all, except NFL players when they want to drive. Highways would be cleared for them. Like, make believe that they're all Barack Obama. They clear the roads for them. That's all. That way there'd be no such accidents. You got to blame the people who got killed. At least that's the way Oprah Winfrey, I would think of it. No? Yes? Maybe? I need a little music. I'm getting pains already in my stomach from the... Oh, I didn't tell you why I called Fairfax, California, the most racist city in the country. I'll get back to that at another time. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
That's Oprah Winfrey saying that old Southern white bigots need to die. Now, I'm thinking maybe there's a product in this for her, you know, since she's so successful at marketing products and she's so beloved by so many, that perhaps Oprah Winfrey can put out Oprah's Hemlock Tea for old Southern whites. Oprah's Hemlock Tea for old Southern whites, and then perhaps it could be mandatory that old Southern whites drink it, because that may be the solution to the racism in America. According to her, that they have to die, and she said it with such, I don't know the correct way to describe the way she said the word, they just have to die. with such gusto, I guess, that perhaps this marketing idea may not be such off the... Oprah's hemlock tea for old Southern whites.
And they just have to die.
No, really. I mean, this is amazing to me that she gets away with this. If we had a sane nation with a real leader, he would condemn this. But what should I say? We don't. Anyway, what else now? What else is in the news? It's awful. It's so bad. Gutter, MSNBC gutter. But they were in the gutter to begin with. They can go lower than the gutter. They went lower than the gutter. They went into the latrine. To me, the gutter is a step up from Martin Basher. That guy came from a latrine, and that's where his mind is, a latrine. That's all. D.C. mayor signs bill allowing illegal immigrants to drive his license. I really like the Toronto mayor, Rob Ford. Now there's a new video of him knocking over a female counselor in a screaming match. He's the crackhead. He's the crackhead. Knocks over a female counselor. He rushes her and throws her to the ground. I swear to you. I watched the video. I said, no, this can't be true. He looks like someone in radio, almost like a twin. I can't say who, because they're not similar in type. I mean, they're similar in physical type, but certainly not in mental behavior, mental statements or anything. But if ever he wanted someone could play him. Or conversely, if Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, wanted to leave politics, he could play someone in radio. No, he could play him. No, let's stop right there. Stop it. That's not fair. Oh, what else is in the news? God. Yeah, Zuckerberg, the genius. Faceberg. Zuckerface now is pushing amnesty. Working hard at it. Very smart, Zuckerface. Very smart. Suddenly he cares. We shall. He's another now civil rights activist, Zuckerface. What's he doing it for? Because he cares about illegal immigrants? Because it was a deal made with the White House, that's all. You want your cheap laborers, the B-1B visas? You work for the whole package. We want the cheap workers. So you got to push for amnesty, Zuckerface. Zuckerface or Faceberg. I don't care. Call up anyone you want. See if I care. Say what you want. I really don't care anymore what you say about me. I'll call him Zuckerface until the cows come home. I don't know what that means, cows come home. Till the cows come home. I think it means at the end of the day, whatever. What else? Zimmerman Yeh was arrested today, that schmuck. I wasn't on Zimmerman's side. I got slammed for that. I said he was a punk looking for it to be a hero. You know, I'm on record. Zimmerman arrested today in Florida for allegedly pointing shotgun at girlfriend. Real putz. No, the guy's a psych. A psycho. Not a psych major, a psycho. I said that. I said that as thuggish as the kid he killed was, he didn't deserve to die. I've said that I'm on record. I don't take it back. I got slammed for that. I said he was a punk trying to be a hero. I was right. Who marches around with a loaded gun as a neighborhood watch officer? He's hoping it could be John Wayne. Now, it's true, Trayvon Martin, but Trayvon was not armed. Remember? I don't want to relive it. But I was definitely opposed to Zimmerman at the time, and I got a lot of attacks because of it, because I went off the reservation. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, Zimmerman was right, real hero. That's not the point. No one deserves to die because you don't like them. Play Harvey Weinstein. Now, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe this Harvey Weinstein clip. Listen to this one.
This is the only country in the world where we don't have health care. Mm. Countries embarrass us around the world. And this is the only country in the world where we don't have a gun law. Mm. I watched you talk about that. Mm. You know, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. Obama's not embarrassing. The country's embarrassing.
Now, the most embarrassing thing about America is Hollywood, that we know. The most polluted images that the world has to gag on a daily basis are produced by men like Weinstein. And he says the country is embarrassing and you go to his movies? You go to this man's movies? You actually go to a movie theater where Harvey Weinstein makes money off it? A man who just said you're embarrassing? Unbelievable to me how people don't do the right thing in this country. Harvey Weinstein says Obama's not embarrassing, the country is embarrassing. You hear this? And we're embarrassed in foreign countries? Harvey, you can move to Pakistan. I'm sure they would love you. You can move to India, Harvey. They'd love you. Their gain would be our loss, Harvey. Please move to Pakistan. Why is it that people who make so much money putting out such pollution hate the country so much? Answer. It's a simple answer. They hate themselves. No, America's not embarrassing, Harvey Weinstein. You are an embarrassment, and the films you make are embarrassing. Every film you make is filled with the most vile images imaginable. and the Muslim world in particular hates you for it, in my opinion. They hate your guts for the pollution that you're spewing. Harvey, you are the man who fills the sewer pipe of Hollywood with the effluence that is being pumped into the minds of billions around the world, and they hate you, Harvey. They're embarrassed by what you produce, not by Americans. We are the finest people on the planet. We are the best nation on the planet. We are the Statue of Liberty to the world, Harvey. Leave the country if you hate us.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here are all the stories today for hour number three of The Savage Nation, where you find news, views, and reviews related to borders, language, and culture. Today being Monday, November 18th, 2013. It's about race, politics, and the media. Oprah Winfrey, MSNBC. Have you heard what they've been saying? Well, I hope you have, because we've been playing it. She said racists have to die for racism to end. I'm not making this up. Oprah Winfrey, one of the wealthiest people in the world, is throwing the race card again. During an interview with the BBC Friday, she not only said that President Obama is treated with disrespect because he's black, really, but also that entire generations of white racists are going to have to die for racism to end. Wow. Don't miss this. Remember last week I was the first in the meeting to tell you that while the drug industry was peddling the idea that cholesterol drugs should be taken by younger and younger men and women, I told you it was just a drug push. Came out today, I was right. It turns out the drug industry peddled false data to push the cholesterol drugs on millions. We're going to talk more about that. Meanwhile, in Mexico, a family of eight was stabbed to death, including two girls ages 4 and 6 and a 7-year-old boy. Bring them all in. I say bring them in. You know why? Because diversity is the key to survival for a nation. Yeah, right. What else is in the news? Well, I have a lot more in the news. A congresswoman from Maryland, congresswoman, says we have no authority to question the EPA. She never read the U.S. Constitution. Meanwhile, some of the most despotic nations on earth have been invited to the UN's Human Rights Council. Can you believe it? You better believe it. Okay? It's late at night already. You've heard it all. You're jaded. Normal people aren't listening to the radio. Right? Average people are not listening to the radio. They're going to Pilates classes. They're in Kung Fu academies. They're shopping for Thanksgiving. They're going to the orthodontist to fix their teeth or their children's teeth. They're watching a show about, JFK. They're interested in JFK. Why are we interested in JFK again? Are we not finished with that? Again? Every time Obama gets in trouble, we hear about Camelot. Every time a Democrat falls off the cliff, there we go again, JFK and Camelot again. Well, okay. Then you have this creature from the Black Lagoon, the slimy limey Martin Basher, saying that someone should defecate and urinate in Sarah Palin's mouth on MSNBC, on Microsoft NBC General Electric, Microsoft NBC General Electric, Microsoft NBC General Electric. The dwarf, the mental dwarf, Martin Basher, the slimy limey, as I've affectionately referred to him over the years, says the following in clip 7, and you have to hear it. I'm going to insist you listen to this.
Thistlewood was the son of a tenant farmer who arrived on the island of Jamaica in April 1750 and assumed the position of overseer at a major plantation. In 1756, he records that a slave named Darby catched eating canes, had him well flogged and pickled, then made Hector, another slave, S-H-I-T, in his mouth.
That's number one of the mentally deranged hosts on MSNBC. He uses a word that no one uses in the media. Now he gets even more insane and qualifies for a straitjacket in clip 8.
And he mentions a similar similar incident again in 1756, this time in relation to a man he refers to as Punch. Flogged Punch well made Negro Joe piss in his eyes and mouth. When Mrs. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance. She confirms that if anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate.
That's all, of course, with the pseudo-high-class British voice. Now you understand why I don't trust people with British accents. But, I mean, there's no question you can ask by this other than why is Phil Griffin still working today? Now you say, well, why is this happening? There are many reasons. The primary reason is because liberalism is a mental disorder, which is the title of a book I published in 2005. So don't accuse me of selling a book. Even if I were selling a book, that would be fine, but I'm not. The book's in print, but I'm not selling it. What I want you to hear is why I think they're mentally disabled. They are disabled people. They're sick. They're probably on medication. I don't know. These are, you know, private, confidential documents. I think liberalism is reaching a point of no return from the point of view of mental illness. And if I'm going to read you something, you're going to find that almost everything you hear from other conservative talk shows has been stolen from my books, and they don't even know it. I am so far ahead of the curve, and I really am so far ahead of the curve that things I've written 5, 6, 8 years ago are now being said as though they never heard it before. They don't know they're quoting my own book. Their producers have ripped off my books and given it to the host to read. I'll give you an example. In the beginning of the book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, here's what I wrote. In this book, I will demonstrate how well-intentioned liberal programs, plans, and ideas often lead to terrible results. While the impulse for helping others is well-intentioned, the results often border on insanity. As such, is liberalism a mental disorder? Can all liberals be mentally disordered? Are good intentions good enough? Let me define the terms. You want me to go on or not? Are you already bored to death? I think I'll stop. Mike, tell us a meatball recipe. It's a good book. I'm not going to read you my own book. It's a good book, very good book, way ahead of its time. I did well with it, that's all. But there's something else in there that you didn't see in the great book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, by me, Michael Savage. You want to hear? It was the preface to the introduction. You ready for this one? Because this comes at you from the other side. This gives you a wrist slap from the other hand. The preface says the conservative movement is dead, and I'm quoting my own book, 2005. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Let's face facts. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that these empty suits would provide the leadership necessary to defend America from those who would do her harm instead of taking the side of the enemy. And I go on, and I say on my radio show this, on my radio show that, when the internationalists attack Christian fundamentalism, let us not forget they're also attacking Judaism. I direct that to my liberal Jewish listeners. This book, I wrote, has been designed to pour a caustic solution on the edifices of liberalism. It was very good. I don't really have to tell you how good it is. Now, this leads us to the news of the day. Now, let's see what else is in the news. So I went to lunch today alone. So I go to a little Chinese restaurant, sit by myself around 2:45 where I can get a table and a newspaper. And I noticed these stories, and I thought they were worth... I said, oh, this is right up my alley. This was an interesting story about Eric Holder doing something I actually approve of. I know you say, wait a minute. Well, even a stopwatch, as they say, you know, is right twice a day. And I must tell you, I had to put down my egg roll to turn the pages to look into this story. Well, the picture of Obama is worth $1,000, which is really amazing. In a reversal, Obama moves to avert the cancellation of health policies, but the man really looks chagrined, shocked, and it's frightening to look at in a way because the president's entire persona is different from this. But that's not the story that hit me. The story that got me was this. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks. Cartel was nicknamed. Suspicions of meddling in market handling $5 trillion a day. And what this is about is that an international investigation into banks like Barclays, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and Citigroup, according to recent public disclosures by the banks and interviews with investigators, blah, 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 they're talking about traders in foreign currencies who ultimately flooded the market with trades that potentially raised the cost of currency for clients but aided the bank's own investments. And then they interview Eric Holder, who says the manipulation we've seen so far may just be the tip of the iceberg. I was shocked that Eric Holder would actually go after banks of this magnitude. No, I really was. Because it's not typical of this administration to go after, shall I put it to you this way, it looks to me like major donors to the Democrat machine. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks, a likely signal of a legal crackdown on a huge market. And the first thing that came to my mind when I read about currency trades was none other than George Soros, who was not mentioned in this, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. George Soros, who made his fortune originally, so far as I know it, in currency trades, is not mentioned in any of this, but major banks are. And I'm wondering now, I had a wondering moment, could all of this lead back to the big boy himself? I have no idea, nor do I cast any aspersions upon Mr. Soros's superb dealings in trading and currencies in the back of the temple. I could go into all the other prep that we've done for the day. Aid to the Philippines, the corruption. And I was asking myself, why is the United States leading on this aid to the Philippines? We're a basket case. We're broke. Why is Japan not the leader here? Why? Did you hear what China gave? Did you hear this? Okay. United States has committed $20 million and dispatched an aircraft carrier with 80 aircraft and 5,000 troops to the Philippines. Then you look and you say, well, what has China done there? China's near the area. China offered $100,000. Now you could say, what? China offered $100,000 to the people of the Philippines for aid. We offered $20 million. Now what about Japan? You'd say, now, Japan and the Philippines have a phenomenal relationship. Not all good, by the way, if you look at what the Japanese in those days, and I don't like to look back because it doesn't relate to today, but they decimated the Philippines in World War II. Japan is planning to send $10 million for emergency shelters and 1,000 troops from its self-defense forces, along with 3 ships and an unspecified number of aircraft. That would be the Japanese military's single largest relief operation abroad since World War II. Britain is sending its largest ship, the helicopter carrier HMS Illustrious, and aid exceeding $32 million. That's a lot of, you know, that's the biggest number there. Wait a minute. We're giving $20 million, and who's making, anybody making money off that? You betcha. When you say we're giving $20 million, what does that mean? It means we're sending water, we're sending blankets, we're sending plastic tarps to build shelters. Well, those are provided not by the government. They're provided by contractors. Now, how much do contractors charge for a plastic sheet? What does the Pentagon pay a contractor? What does the Pentagon pay for an aspirin? What does the Pentagon pay for a bottle of water? I was going to do that tonight. 855-400-7282. Is the phone number. We have other stories we can deal with, and we will. In fact, what I want to play for you now is the sad case, not of Obamacare so much, but the sad sack, Nancy Pelosi, who we call affectionately on the program the Bugs Bunny of talk radio, actually the Bugs Bunny of Congress. I don't know where this woman gets this from. I don't know why people don't tell her she should stop it, but everything she says, there's not a thing she says that makes sense. I don't mind that she's a Democrat. I don't mind that she's a liberal Democrat. I don't mind that she's a slavish supporter of Obama. Okay, that's expected in a party. But to be this disconnected from reality, to not understand that the American people can't understand the irrationality of her statements, is the part that worries me, given her prominence and her power. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, for example, to clip 14 and then 15.
The president was very gracious in taking responsibility and making an apology. But I agree with Mr. Hoyer. What the president said in regard to the Affordable Care Act is absolutely so. There is nothing in the Affordable Care Act that said that your insurance company should cancel you. That's not what the Affordable Care Act is about. It simply didn't happen.
She's twisting it again, just like he did. He said nothing. Nobody knows what he actually said. 855-400-7282. Medford, Oregon, KMED. Eli, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling about a couple comments you've made in the past shows. And what I love about America is the principles it's based on of freedom. And so when someone who says he's a conservative is talking about, well, let's forget the Fourth Amendment where you have to have a warrant to search somebody, and let's do this stop and frisk, which is a warrantless search for our safety, that bugs me. That's the first one. The second one...
Well, let's deal with one thing at a time. How come that the people in New York overwhelmingly approved of stop and frisk, while it was liberals like yourself who don't live there, who were screaming it was unconstitutional, it was illegal, and it violated minority rights? Minorities themselves were glad it was being done because they got the worst elements off the streets.
I'm not speaking for those people who are in favor of unconstitutional stuff. I'm saying I am... for the Constitution. You're asking me what the...
I know, but you're talking about it in the abstract. You're talking about it in a bell jar. You're speaking about it from a textbook point of view in the safety of your home in Medford, Oregon. You're not talking about it from the point of view of the mean, horrendous streets of New York City or the other cities that are filled with crime. And so if we use your bell jar view, your university view of constitutionality, we'll all wind up dead. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's take a call or two. Michael on WABC, welcome to the program.
You've got a problem. The problem is this. The daytime talk show hosts, Mr. Simone and all of these other characters, are ready to gang up on you. You've got the guy with the hemorrhoids who's getting a hysterectomy without any anesthesia. He's also doing it. You've got them ready for you, Michael. They're going to come after you. And
why do you think they're attacking me? Tell me why, Michael.
Okay. Very simple. You've got... it's coming from more than one person. That tells me that they're all in cahoots. I mean, I don't think that this just came...
No, but you're not answering the question in a bigger picture. Why would these other hosts be attacking Michael Savage? Why are they doing it?
Their ratings. Why else would they do that?
Can I explain something to you? When you are the lead sled dog, what portion of the dog's body, what part of the lead dog's anatomy do the other dogs stare at?
I've phrased myself many times.
You're not answering me. If you're the lead sled dog in terms of talent...
Of course.
No, you're not answering me. If you're the lead sled dog in terms of talent, as I am,
yes,
not in size of audience, but in terms of talent, no one could touch me. Tell me what part of the anatomy of a lead sled dog the other dogs are staring at as they're racing across the snow.
They're going to see us behind.
That's right. So all they're doing is yapping because that's all they get to look at. You understand that?
Could I tell you what they said?
No, you think it bothers me?
No, well, look.
They're jealous. They're Lilliputians. What do I care what they say? All right, I don't even want to talk about them. They're insignificant. I won. You understand I won the marbles? Do you understand this? Can I just make it clear? I've been in the marble game for 20 years. I won all the marbles. Everybody was against me, and that's not a paranoid statement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855.
Obamacare, I'm not going to talk about. That's all that anyone talks about. You know how I feel about it. And you already know it's a collapse and it's not going to work on its own, right? Well, joining us now in the Savage Nation is the great writer Tim Stanley from The Telegraph UK to tell us how they're viewing this nightmare overseas. Tim Stanley, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Other than the obvious, what problems do you see happening with this healthcare nightmare?
Okay, so the problem with Obamacare is basically this is Obama's big liberal reform, and whether you're for it or against it, it should be a moment of history. But it's a history which has gone just horribly wrong. I mean, first of all, we now know that it could well be open to fraud, because it turns out that these so-called navigators, the people who are supposed to help people to navigate their way around this crazy website, could be convicted felons stealing people's information. We've got this guy, James O'Keefe, has discovered them telling people just to sort of lie about their smoking habits or lie about their hidden work income, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, this is great potential for fraud, but also it's fraudulent in principle, because Barack Obama consistently told the American people that they could keep their current plans going. And it turns out that the White House knew that was wrong. It is wrong. And the latest guess is that something like 68% of people with a private plan could end up having to lose it. And again, you know, all of this is bad enough. But again, I keep on coming back to, if you're going to do this, if you're going to sort of fool people, at least do it well. But the website has been such an unmitigated disaster that the administration planned within 1 month to have 500,000 people signing up through the website, and it turns out they've only got 50,000 people to do it. Why? Because the website keeps on breaking down, it keeps on freezing, and this is the entry point to the whole Obamacare experience, and it turns out to be a technical disaster, as I say, with all the sophistication of the old video game Pong. So it's a fraud. It's also a really badly executed fraud.
But didn't Obama's apology make everything much better?
Yeah, and it's very true that it's nice when a politician apologizes, although he apologized in that very Obama-esque way of kind of not apologizing and trying to get us to think about the bigger picture of how this is going to save America and bring social reform and justice, etc. But, you know, we shouldn't you know, reject the fact that President Obama has actually apologized for something. That's very rare for him. You know, he's a very proud man. He doesn't like admitting when things go wrong, things like Benghazi, things like Fast and Furious. So to have him actually admitting that I told people one thing and that turned out not to be the case, that's actually quite a big moment in the history of the Obama presidency.
How is this incompetence being looked at on the world stage? Do they see the king has no clothes?
On the world stage, this looks pretty bad. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's a very well-reported story, but for those who do come across it, it is big news. Because people have this image on the world stage of Obama as this great liberal reformer, a very honest man with lots of integrity who's trying to improve his country. And the discovery that he's fundamentally misled the voters, which you know, did help in the election, because this was not flagged up. The fact that this could happen, that you could lose your private insurance, was not flagged up during the election. It kind of dents his image as an honest man, but also as a competent man. It just looks plain incompetent. And can he fix it? Well, I guess you could improve the website. I guess that those glitches will eventually be fixed. But all along, during the shutdown crisis, the Republicans were arguing for a delay. They were saying throughout the whole thing, let's stop, let's think about this, let's make sure it works properly. And all the while, it was being presented that Republicans were just trying to wreck it. Sure, there were some Republicans who were just trying to wreck it. But now, the case for delaying it, for stopping and thinking again, looks even stronger. So, you know, on balance, Obama comes out of this very, very poorly.
How has Obama's image been changed through the spying scandals, in your opinion?
During the 2012 election, Barack Obama was probably considerably more popular, according to opinion polls, in Western Europe than he was even in America. I know he won. It wasn't that huge of a victory. But really, in Europe, he was still pretty much adored. That's going to have changed. People's impression of him, again, as a liberal reformer, is going to be very different now that particularly Germany knows that, you know, the Chancellor has had her phone hacked, that information's been passed on to the NSA. People now look at Obama less as a change, but more as a figure of continuity. That the kind of things that they associated negatively with George W. Bush, the military interventions, the spying, the hacking, all that sort of thing, they now can see Barack Obama's done exactly the same. But again, it's that question of competence. You know, this might sound like a slightly dark argument, but almost black comedy. But if you're going to spy on people, if you're going to mislead people, do it well. But the point is, it's all been revealed under Obama's watch, and he's been forced to apologize for things, forced to backtrack on things, forced to give the impression that he just didn't know certain things are going on. So you not only get the impression of someone whose imperial presidency has overreached on so many different policies, but the people of Europe are also starting to think that he's also not very good at running it.
Tim, what is Chris Christie's image in the United Kingdom?
Europeans and the British are very impressed with Chris Christie. He's had an enormous impact upon us over here, and a lot of people are actually talking about lessons that the British can take from Chris Christie. This is a big turnaround. For a very long time now, the impression has been that the Republican Party is something that the British want to avoid association with, and the Republicans can learn something from us Now it's the other way around. If you look at that astonishing re-election victory in New Jersey, if you look at his figures, his 57% support among women, 45% amongst Hispanics, 20% amongst African Americans, people are looking at Chris Christie, and what they're taking away from it is that a conservative with charisma, a conservative who sort of stands on his principles, and a guy who is willing to just represent what he stands for and not compromise on it, that can win votes. Now, of course, we've kind of ignored in Europe the election in Virginia, which I think is a big mistake, because Cuccinelli nearly won, despite the fact that he had very little money. The Republican establishment basically dumped all over him, and he was really hammered by the media. And I think a very, very interesting takeaway from the Cuccinelli vote is not only that he nearly won, but also that he won the votes of people aged 18 to 24. He lost people aged 25 to sort of 30, but he won very young people, which suggests that a conservative not only has the potential to win among everyone, but more importantly, a conservative can energize young people. So even though all the eyes of the world are on the New Jersey result, I think the Virginia one is just as significant because it says to conservatives, hang on in there, stand by your principles, and if you've got personality and money, you can still win, even in Democrat-leaning states.
Where can we read more of your work?
You can read a lot more of my work on Telegraph Blogs. That's the Daily Telegraph's blog website, where we have another a new couple of great American bloggers who are working for us right now, and you can get all your American coverage from there.
Kim Stanley, thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
It's always a pleasure.
Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know what? I think I'm going to forget politics for a few minutes. I know that's what you want me to do anyway. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do instead. I have a great show prep from 8 o'clock this morning. Unbelievable. Palin's right. We are selling our children into servitude. We are forcing them to live in ruin and poverty. They're going to be ruined this would be called not free market. There was another phrase that was used that's no longer used by the communists in the media, which is free enterprise. When I was young, the phrase that was used was free enterprise. We don't use that anymore. Notice that? Now the word is capitalism because immediately people get, oh, I'm not a capitalist. Oh, no, no, that's a dirty word. They made capitalism a dirty word. But actually the phrase that we should be using is free enterprise. But since socialists have seized the wheels of the media, we will sell our children into the servitude. So Sarah Palin was right. But I don't want to talk about this. I'll tell you what I want to do instead. Since it's my show, and since the time slot is a-changing, you know, come January 1, like I'm sitting here in front of a microphone, 6:35 on the West Coast, 9:35 on the East Coast. It's dark. It's been dark for 3 hours now. It's horrible. I'm staring at a green curtain again in a lonely room. You don't know what it's like. A nightmare. I can't wait for the day part. Wallbanger will be gone. He'll be banging walls somewhere else. And I'll be there in drive time. What I'm going to do instead, because why should I rebuild? Why should I build this time slot for somebody else? Let them kill themselves at night. I'm joking. I do the same show if it's in the middle of the night. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do instead. You know I'm a boater, right? And you know I sold my boat, my beloved boat. After 5 years, I had another one for 5 years and sold it. I had a Grand Banks 42 I sold in 2009 that I bought new in 2002. I owned it for 7 years. I bought it new. I loved that boat. It was a revelation for me to step up from a Bayliner 38. The Bayliner was like a frisbee on the bay. I was terrified of docking that boat because it was a shallow beam. For those of you who don't know boats, I mean, a shallow draft, rather. Meaning it was shallow underneath. So it skidded on the water, and in the wind, you couldn't dock the thing. You'd be banging into docks. It was a nightmare. Every time I docked, I would skid across the water. It was like my heart would pound. It was sort of like a guy learning to land the plane at night in a wind. So I hated the boat. And then I bought the GB42, and I loved the boat because it was deep-keeled, big propellers. It was a world apart. Then I sold that in 2009, and I bought a used boat. It was 2 years old. I bought it in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was a Grand Banks 59 Aleutian, which I always wanted. I always wanted that boat. So I found a great boat, and I bought it. And, boy, it was different. It had stabilizers. It had a bow thruster. I added a stern thruster. It was like driving a little ocean liner. And I've enjoyed it from 2009 until this year when I sold it to lovely people who, by the way, drove it out of my dock about 2 weeks ago and drove it down to Mexico. They got there in 48 hours from my dock to Ensenada, got it ready, and they put it on a ship. It may be in Florida in a couple of weeks. Now, so I said, no more boats. I'm not buying any more boats. Oh, I just bought another boat. So I'm a little reluctant to tell you what I bought, but I bought another boat, a 40-foot. I went down from a 60-foot to a 40-foot. A boat called a Windsor Craft. They're very little-known boats. They're built in Turkey by Vikim. Now, why I'm telling you this is because I just had a survey done and it arrived 3 minutes ago by email. You know what a boat survey is like? A boat survey is about it's like buying a used car, buying 20 used cars at once. Buying a boat is like buying 20 used cars at once and trying to analyze whether to buy it or not. So I just got the marine survey, which I'd like to share with you because some of it's very interesting. Shall I do it or not? Raise your hands. Do you want me to read you the marine survey, or do you want me to talk about MSNBC? Because at the end of the show, I'm going to go to dinner anyway. At the end of the show, I'm going to go to dinner and have two beers and probably have spaghetti and meatballs, and then I'm going to come home and watch Homeland late tonight because I missed it last night. And then I'm going to go to sleep and have nightmares all night about politics. And then wake up and push the wheel, the rock up the hill again. Tomorrow's another day of the myth of Sisyphus. Sisyphus Savage will be back tomorrow. Raise your hand if you want me to read you can't raise your hand in the audience. You can. You want me to read the 855-4728? Okay, I'll give you a short version. Let's see what the surveyor said. The above-captioned vessel was surveyed on November 18, 2013, while afloat in its berth and during haul-out at Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for the purpose of hull condition and marine risk survey, commonly referred to as a pre-purchase survey. It's very interesting, even if you're not a boater. This survey includes the inspection of hull and deck structure, installation of hardware equipment, plumbing and electrical systems, blah, blah, blah. In addition, attempts were made to operate all equipment aboard the vessel. The interior of the vessel was inspected and found to be in very good cosmetic condition. All partitions, bulkheads, and epoxy fastenings were inspected, were accessible, found to be in good condition. All through hull fittings below the waterline were noted to be in good condition, fitted with operable shutoff valves and bonded to a central bonding system, with the exception of one which was seized. Oh, no good. No good. Most electrical equipment was inspected. Three bilge high water alarms were tested and found to be in good condition. Some pumps were tested. None of the batteries are checked with an electronic load test. All five were found to be in good. This is real good stuff for an Eddie. It's like an Eddie show. But I don't know if, like, women listening to this show in Minnesota would be interested. The trial run was conducted offshore Port Everglades Atlantic Ocean. A diesel surveyor is scheduled to be aboard in the near future to check the condition. It was noted there was no abnormal smoking at the exhausts. The engines were noted to do within approximately 30 RPMs of their maximum rating. I love motors. I just love this stuff. Propeller shafts were found to turn true at the shaft logs. Don't you love this? Don't you like a phrase like, the propeller shafts were found to turn true at the shaft logs? That's sexy. A backdown test was conducted during which the engines were noted to hold firm on their mounts. That is a certain charm to that. Steering, good. I mean, during haul-out, the bottom was soldered with a phenolic hammer. That sounds almost S&M. During haul-out, the bottom was soldered with a phenolic hammer? That sounds like a Lady Gaga thing. During a haul-out, the bottom was soldered with a phenolic hammer, parenthesis, a tool used to detect voids, separations, delaminations, areas of deterioration, etc., and found to be sound. No signs of blisters were noted in the fiberglass, all in the water. Fittings and running gear were found to show. The prop blades were observed for proper alignment, noted to turn slightly out of true. Not good. That's not good. The propeller shafts to strut alignments appear to be within normal limits for this. The cutlass bearings were found to be within limits. The rudders were noted to be in good condition and properly lined. The anti-fouling pin was noted to be within its limits. The zincs were noted to be within limits of effect. The top sides also found to be sound. The decks and superstructure were inspected. The navigation lights were tested. The fuel tanks were no leak. All right. Remarks and recommendation. I'm reading a ship survey for those of you who ever want to buy a boat. Both propellers were noted to turn slightly out of true. Recondition if vibration warrants. Note excessive vibration was detected. What? Excessive vibration was detected during the trial run? That's not good. Two, at least four of the through-hull external strainers were noted to be damaged? Not good. Three, Elevated moisture readings were noted in the bottom in a few areas, mainly at the keel and starboard beneath the aft and middle ports. No delamination. No. The trim tabs operated, however, they are wired the reverse of normal. Oh, no. Oh, no. Rewire as desired? Decks and superstructure. Elevated moisture readings were noted mainly around the midship cleats. Forget about this. Cockpit. Oh, this is getting interesting. I got a neck ache already. Number six. No, I'm really getting palpitations and a pain in my neck. Six, I swore no more boats. Six, water leakage was noted in the vicinity of the freshwater pressure pump and its plumbing. Oh, no. Determined source and repair. Seven, water was noted in the electric grill, as well as the compartment beneath it and the compartments to port. Keep this area covered. Oh, no. Eight, the U-line ice maker did not produce cold. Oh, no. Check its power cord and ensure that it is plugged. Oh, I'm getting a migraine. Oh, this is terrible. Nine, corrosion, most likely due to leakage at the generator seawater cooling pump above it, was noted at the low-pressure fuel pump. Ugh. Wire brush and tree to replace fuel pump on at the seawater cooling pump for leak. I can't take this. I said no more boats. I was forced into this. Ten, it's because it's one of the most beautiful boats ever made, but I don't need this headache. 10. A lack of cooling water flow was noted in the generator C strainer. No! That's terrible! Recommend seawater intake hose be replaced, an entire system checked for blockage, barnacles, and cleaned as necessary. I'm going to buy a boat with barnacles? Additionally, the generator C cock was blocked from closure by the location of the port bilge pump. Oh, my God. Helm. The autopilot powered up and acted normal but did not steer a course. Oh, great. That's great. That should come in very handy on a first cruise. The autopilot doesn't work. 12. The starboard windshield washer does not produce water. Great. Oh! Here's the killer. The Raymarine E80 radar function did not operate. This is... The DV player did not... The DVD player in the stateroom did not open its tray to allow for playing a DVD? Are you kidding me? This is getting better by the minute. 15. A lack of water flow was noted in the air conditioner C strainer. Oh, my God. This goes on and on. This guy, I'm going to stop right here. I don't know if you know what I'm doing here. 855-407-282. Oh, what? I have callers now? I was filibustering my own show, but it's actually more interesting. New Mexico, KTBL. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually, there's a radio show called Red Eye Radio. The hosts on that show, Gary and Eric, actually praised you for getting on Cumulus about a year ago.
Well, that was a year ago, but now are they still praising me now that I'm moving into a major drive time slot and an old wall banger, their hero, has been pushed out?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I haven't heard them say much else, but they haven't said...
You know what? God bless them for saying one nice thing about me. This is the most vicious business in the world. This makes vaudeville look like a whatever. I was never in vaudeville myself. I heard about it. Imagine there was a thing called vaudeville once, and now there's internet porn. What was vaudeville? It was stupid men making jokes with a cane so that strippers could come on the stage. I was way before. Now with internet porn, they don't need men with canes.
Savage.